Welcome to The Mix, Waterman's monthly podcast. I'm Jen Lennox, the director at Waterman's, and over the next half hour, we'll be introducing some highlights of what's on this month. If you're new to us, we're a mixed art form venue that shows a programme of independent cinema, special event cinema, such as screenings of live opera and theatre, children's and family theatre, dance, performance, and exhibitions in our new media art gallery, which can be anything from film and video to AI-powered soundscapes or computer-driven visuals. First up, our children's theatre programmer Hakan catches up with David Duffy and Andrea Sadler, who have adapted Dogs Don't Do Ballet from the book by Anna Kemp that has illustrations by Sarah Ogilvie. The show is presented at Waterman's for four performances on the weekend of the 9th and 10th of March. This show has toured for quite a few years now and has been to Waterman's before, and it's always really popular. Then our cinema programmer John talks to Marlena Lukaszak, the director of the Polish Film Festival, Kinoteka. This is a really wonderful festival and I'm so excited that it's coming to Waterman's this year. We'll be showing Scarborn, a film directed by Paweł Maslona, which is one of the most commercially and artistically successful films from Poland in recent years. This will be on Sunday the 24th of March as part of our regular kino season of Polish films and talks. This is a real highlight of the month, so put that date in your diary. Sunday 24th of March at 1 o'clock. And from Saturday the 23rd of March, we have a new exhibition opening, The Pillars of Our Latex House by the artist Tendai Vine. This work explores the extraordinary impact of the sap from a Malaysian tree, the gutta percha. This exhibition is part of a very exciting European collaboration that we're doing, which has been funded by the European Union's Horizon Fund. The collaboration is called Artcast 4D, and it's set up to develop free software that makes it easier for artists to create immersive work. So we hope you enjoy this episode and come along to one of the many screenings, events and exhibitions over the next month at Waterman's. Also, if you have any comments or questions about our programme, please feel free to email us at info@watermans.org.uk and pop The Mix into the subject line. Thank you for listening and we hope to see you soon.
My name is Marlena Lukaszak. I'm the artistic director of Kinoteka Polish Film Festival and also the head of film and theatre at the Polish Cultural Institute, the organization which has established Kinoteka Polish Film Festival and is producing it.
Yeah, and I'm John. This is my third or fourth podcast, but because I'm John Morgan Tamasunas, the film and cinema programmer at Waterman's, where I've been based for over 30 years now, I suppose. And we're going to be hosting a screening of Kinoteka towards the end of March, Sunday the 24th, and the film is Scarborn. So perhaps, Marlena, just to kick us off, if you'd like to just mention a little bit, it's a very popular film, I believe, and picked up awards at film festivals in Poland. But for those who don't know much about it, perhaps you could enlighten them.
Yes, so Scarborn, it's, I think, a very, very unique film because, as you rightly mentioned, it's a very popular film. It's been released in Poland a few weeks ago, and it's done really well at the box office. But it's one of these rare films which is not only popular, but it's also of really high artistic values. So the film was screened for the first time in Poland at the Gdynia Film Festival. This is our national film festival where all Polish films premiere, and the success or a lack of success at this festival very much determines what will happen with the film afterwards. So when the Scarborn was screened in Gdynia, it not only received the main award, the Golden Lions at the festival, but it was also the favorite film of the audiences. It was the film that everyone was talking about. And of course, there is a reason for that. And the reason is that the film tells a story. It's a period drama. It tells a story of a Polish national hero, Kościuszko, who comes back from States to Poland to fight against Russians' occupation. That time Poland was partitioned by Russians, Germans, and Austrians, so the country did not exist, and he comes to stage a national revolt to regain the independence. And so the film tells it's a period drama, as I said, and in the last few years there has been a sort of revival in historical cinema, revival in terms of maybe not necessarily the quality of movies, but the quantity of period dramas made in Poland dealing with the Polish history. And all the films they've been made in the same way, so presenting all national heroes in this in a full glory with pathos and so on. And Scarborn, it's a film which is actually made like a Tarantino film, so it
Oh,
takes its
that's.
character and it plays with its character, it plays with the history, it mixes tragedy and a comedy just to create its own genre, which has nothing to do with a traditional period drama.
Oh, that's very interesting, isn't it? Really, I know Michael Brook, who hosts our regular monthly Polish events at Waterman's, was very impressed with it when he heard that that was the film, and he'll be doing an introduction to the film as part of the festival. He was very pleased. He was, but do you think the thing about period film is the popularity? I mean, is it tied in with the uncertain times we live in, do you think, or is it just a phase that might happen anyway? You know, that possibly. There's more money in the film industry because they obviously cost a little bit more to make, don't they? The costume for in general, because there's the whole period aspect has to be accounted for, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. But in Poland, it was also related to the policy, the cultural policy of the government. So for the last 8 years, the government we had was a bit more on the conservative side. They were the history, tradition was very important to their political and cultural agenda. Therefore, there was much more money available to be
I
spent
see.
on that kind of productions. But
Yeah,
yes, so I think that's the main reason.
No,
And
we, yeah.
sorry, just want to
Yes.
add that Scarborn has also been financed by the public money. And
Okay.
I think the public organizations, including public TV, were maybe slightly surprised when they saw the
Yeah.
end result because they were expecting another of the traditional periods drama. But how little they know of
Yeah.
Paweł Maślona, the director.
Well, that's good that they can be in its own way subversive to what they probably expected. That's true. Yeah. Would you like to briefly highlight some of the highlights of the festival? We've obviously talked about Scarbon. I was quite interested in Green Border, partly because I really admire Agnieszka Holland. I mean, I've quite a lot of her films usually are in the Berlinale, in fact. But as I'm sure you know, it's been quite controversial, hasn't it? Because of its subject matter. Is it? I've not seen that. Is it a good film?
I personally think it's a very good film, and it's a very important and much needed film. Of course, it's been controversial in Poland, but I think it's in general controversial as the subject of refugees is controversial. So you will find people who will really, of course, I cannot say enjoy the film because there is not much in that film to enjoy, but will.
No.
It's a very kind of a very sad and very touching film, and I know that many people actually cried at the screening. at the screenings, various screenings. But I think it's a really very much needed film. I don't, of course, we talk about refugees, we hear about refugees on a daily basis, but I think we tend to hear about them as a group of people, just as a group of refugees, about the political problems. And what Agnieszka Holland does, she gives them names, faces,
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
their
yeah.
stories, and that's still very much needed to make people understand that these people are like us, and they are also entitled to have a better living. But of course, it's a big problem. The borders cannot be opened. It's like, how do we deal with that, with that
Yes,
social
quite.
political
Yeah. Yeah,
problems?
and I saw an interview on TV with one of the forget which ministry he was, but the Polish minister. I mean, they were more discussing Ukraine, but how many in the millions of displaced people are living in Poland from there? So obviously, that film deals with Syrian refugees, which is of course different, but refugees nonetheless. Yeah. I'd certainly hope to try and play that film at Waterman's, but as you know, very few films get UK distribution over here, unfortunately, don't
Yes,
they?
the good news is, and that's the reason why we are also opening festival with the Green Border, that Green Border has got a UK distributor, Modern Film,
Oh.
and the film will go on general release in the UK in mid-June. So I
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, good. I know Modern Films. I mean, obviously, I book you with they're a very good distribution company of independent cinema. Fantastic
Yes,
news.
so hopefully the Waterman
We'll play it. Yeah,
Yes, audiences will be able to watch it, which I absolutely encourage people to do so. Even it doesn't matter if you know what are your personal views on on that refugee crisis. This is, I think, everyone is entitled to have their own opinion, and but I think that it's important that filmmakers, they also express their point of view and they engage in that discussion.
Yes, very important. Yes. Is there anything else you'd sorry, I brought that film up, didn't I? Do you have something a personal favorite perhaps in the festival? Or are there too many to
I think yes. I think that I have to say I feel quite content with what the quality of films we managed to screen. We will manage to screen this year at Kinoteka. I think it's a great selection of really fantastic films made in Poland. So I'm a big fan of a small, beautiful documentary called In the Rearview. That was
Okay.
shortlisted for Oscars, and it tells a story of a Polish filmmaker who hired a van just at the beginning of the Russian invasion in Ukraine.
All right.
And he was traveling for a few months in and out of Ukraine, evacuating people to Poland. And the whole film is set in inside the car, so the camera basically registers the passengers in that car, who are widows of killed soldiers. They are mothers with small kids. There is an African student who is being evacuated with a serious medical problem. So the wide range of Ukrainians who are
Yes.
seeking refuge, and all of them, they've got different experiences, different lives that they are leaving behind, and also different hopes for what is awaiting them. Very, very heartwarming documentary, because the way it's made, it deals with a difficult subject. But it somehow shows the beauty of people, the strength in people. So yeah, so I would say that's probably one of my favorite films.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, we'll look out for that. I haven't got the brochure. I was perusing it earlier on this morning online, where I picked out some of those points. But yeah, I'll perhaps try get up and see that myself if I can.
Yes, and another event that I'm actually really anticipating is it's the first time we are partnering with Saubank, and we will be presenting selection of films made by Polish visual artists on the Polish culture in the 90s and at the beginning of 2000s. And that screening will be followed by a rave party, all night rave party inspired by the Polish rave culture in the 90s. So that's something completely outside of the frame of Kinoteka frame. We've never done before.
No.
Very exciting.
Well, if I was 20 years or 30 years younger, I would look at going
But
for
no, but
that.
that's the whole idea
The
is
whole
to
diver, yeah, the
bring back
whole.
the people who used to go to rave parties in the 90s and in the beginning of 2000, and just get the feel of to feel again like the time went back.
That sounds very, yeah, it sounds great. It really does. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that, and good luck. I'm sure the festival is going to be a great success. I'm certainly sure it is, and fingers crossed that we do well at Waterman's with our screening. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. And we are really looking forward to the screening at Waterman's. And I hope very much that's going to be the beginning of our collaborations.
Hello again, David and Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us today. I would love to hear from both of you about your artistic work, and can you please tell us a bit about yourselves?
Yeah, Andrea.
So I trained as an actor, and I was an actor for about 15 years before I discovered puppetry. And I did some courses at Little Angel Theatre, and then from there, I've kind of worked solidly in puppetry for the last sort of 10 or 12 years. David and I formed our own company, so we create work together, which always has a puppetry element to it. It's a great storytelling device.
Yeah, my background really was in lighting and production, but what I came to love about working in puppetry is it's a real there's a real puppetry community. There's a world of people who are drawn towards using puppets in storytelling and in theatre. And I think in a very literal way, you know, we're all focused on the same thing. It's about making these objects come to life. And so there's a lot of sharing. You know, we're all trying to make this impossible thing happen. So we all work together. And so I found that a really, really enjoyable, sort of joyful experience. There's a lot of sharing. We all have the same aim. And so over time, working in puppetry, I developed a directing sort of skill. And so moved more into directing and producing now as well.
That's fantastic. And I was wondering, why did you decide to pick up the story of Dogs Don't Do Ballet, which is originally written as a book?
So it's a book that we read to our now 15-year-old when she was three. And we were both reading it to her separately, but looking at this story and thinking this would make a fantastic puppet show. And then we had a conversation about it, and we approached the author, who was very, very enthusiastic and also very hands-off. She just let us kind of have free rein with the way that we told the story. So it's extremely true to the story, but we've also added lots of sort of fantastical elements to it as well. It's a very visual book, and I think the message is that, you know, this little dog who everyone says he can't be who he wants to be, possibly proves them wrong.
And Anna, who wrote the book, she'd said that she had wanted a career in theatre, and it didn't sort of go that way. She She went more into academia and writing, and her academic specialism is translation. So she does French literature translation. And she said to us, "You're translating our work. So I'm not gonna, as long as you're true to the vision that I wrote the book in, I'm not gonna unpick everything you do. You've got freedom." So we built up that bit of trust together. So that was really, really liberating. And she did, but we kept on inviting her to come in just to make sure we were staying on the right path. And I think for writers, you know, they have to get it down to like 18 pages or 22 pages, you know, so they have to fit all their ideas in. And they might say to their agent, but, you know, I've got all these other characters, and they say, keep it simple, keep it simple. In the show, you know, you can go for longer. You might read that book in 3 or 4 minutes with your child. Over 45 minutes, you can dig deeper. You know, something that in a book, you turn the page and you say it's the next day. Well, you can explore what happens in between a little bit more. So that's what we were able to do. And it's also, the illustrations are just exquisite and were full of tiny moments that we could see really coming to life with puppets. But I think that, again, Sarah, the illustrator, was very clear with us to say, he's always a chubby little puppy. You know, don't try and turn him into a long... He doesn't have this change where suddenly he's a long, graceful dog with long limbs. He's always that chubby little puppy, but it's his spirit. He knows he was meant to be a ballerina.
And he succeeds exactly as he is without changing. It's everyone around him changes their perception, which is just a really lovely message, especially for young people, you know, who might be wondering who they are in the world.
Yeah, yes. And who maybe don't always see role models that look like them, but they know that's what they were born to do. I think it's a really, really powerful story about acceptance.
Absolutely, that's wonderful. And I think puppetry is such a great genre where you can really explore different possibilities. And maybe we can talk from this perspective, looking at a miniature theater, if you like, because for small kids, this is a wonderful world in front of them. You know, it's also kind of playing with the perspective where they can see, obviously, actors, you know, performing, but also all of these puppets in the show. And I think this is also a great perspective to look at from a child's point of view, where you are also a small person and you look into this kind of wonderful miniature world.
Yeah, and I think children respond so well to puppetry because we actually are all puppeteers as children. All children pick up their toys and animate them and give them voices and make up stories with them. And it's something that we just forget as we get older. So I think children are very accepting of the world that they're presented with in theatre. They'll just say, oh, that's a dog who's dancing, and that's a dog wearing a tutu, and that's, you know, a ballerina who comes to life from a poster. And you don't have to explain to children. They just suspend their disbelief immediately, which is why they're such great audiences.
And I think they relate to that character. I remember when our daughter was quite small, maybe 2 or 3 years old, and you would read a bedtime story and she would start talking to the page, and she'd say, duckling, did you know that I was sad today when daddy said we had to go home from the park? I thought, wow, you didn't actually tell me that, but something about this character you connect with. So it's a really immediate way of connecting with the audience. And I think that in our work, what we try and do is maybe in the first few minutes, we warm you up, you know, it's safe, it's easy, you come in, you get to know the show. By the end of the show, it might have all gone quite strange and surreal. You talked about scale. So in this one, there are times when there are tiny, tiny puppets that you probably wouldn't want to start the show looking at a puppet, you know, that's as big as your thumb. But if you're following the story, when you see that tiny, tiny dog walking along the back, you know that he's on a journey somewhere, and you've invested emotionally in it. So I think that we try to lay the foundations to then do something that goes a bit deeper.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, David and Andrea. I think we are super excited to have you very soon at Waterman's. And we love Little Angel Theatre's work and all the artists that, you know, is connected to the Little Angel Theatre. So thank you so much for both. And yeah, we are very much looking forward to having you very soon.
Has it been to Waterman's before?
It's been to Waterman's before. Years ago, we brought the show, and I think I remember it being, there were lovely audiences, I remember. We had a really good time, so I'm sure it'll be the same again this
time. We always have a good time at Waterman's. It's just such a beautiful setting. It's such a lovely building. You get really nice food. It's a great day for us as well.
Thank you ever so much. Yeah, that's so nice to hear.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Mix, the new podcast from Waterman's. Follow us on social media at Waterman's Arts or visit our website, watermans.org.uk.